The power of
good news for the lonely hearts that break. You are as
you're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. And sorrows, where you lead me, I will follow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day.
Here's today's message from Dr. Daryl Orman.
Amen. We want to recognize our mothers today and honor them, and I want to pray for them as we open our service today and thank God for our, if you're a mom, raise your hand. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and we thank you so much for our moms. Thank you for each one of these dear women that you've used to bring us into this world, and we pray that you would anoint them and bless them. Give them a fresh filling of your Spirit and encourage them today. I pray, Lord, that they'll receive love and expressions from their family. And, Lord, that you'll just touch their hearts in a special way today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to greet each other, wave to each other. Hello, hello, hello. Please be seated. At the end of the service, well, I want to give each of the moms, our gift for you today is going to be a chocolate-covered strawberry. Is that okay? And I want to do a real shout-out to Signature Sweets right across the street. Jermaine is one of the, he's one of the owners and a dad of kids in our school. And he made these for you last night, so you'd have them today. And I just want to praise the Lord for him. He's just been so generous. He's done this for us before. And there'll also be a little kind of a gift card type thing for a buy one, get one free yogurt over there. And they have the best yogurt in town. And if you go in there, ask for Jermaine and thank him personally for his gift to you. We love him and appreciate him. Several other announcements I'd like to share with you. I'd like to mention yesterday we had our Mother's Day banquet, and they had, I think, 100 women there or thereabouts, and we praise the Lord for that. Is there any photos? Claire, do y'all have any photos from that you could pop up? You do not. Okay. Well, you do have some of our work photos, and yesterday we had, this was the crew that was at the Reborn Farm and cutting trees and clearing and had a chainsaw training event. 10 of those folks there are from our church. Do you have any of those pictures, Margaret, of the kind of the close-up? There's Margaret and Claire and KT, and in the back is John, and in the front is Chairman Jack, right there with the hat on. Yeah. Do you have any other photos, the other side of the room? Or we had several other of our guys there. We had 10 of our folks there. And praise the Lord, we had a wonderful time. Was there all morning, just through lunch, and a great time of fellowship and training. And all the ladies, there was our three girls, and then there were six or seven others there, and they love our farmhouse there. And they said, please don't tear it down, and said, well, that's, you know, up to God later. So, but we did have a joyous time, got a lot done, and praise the Lord for the Florida Baptist Convention and designating this spot. And I talked to the director, David Coggins, for Florida Baptist Disaster Relief. They're going to come back and probably do another training again. Today is a special day for our convention as we are raising funds for our children homes. We have several children homes across the state, and Kim and I both have served as trustees at different times over the Florida Baptist Children's Home, and want to encourage you to give to that. You just make your offering out, your check, if you're doing a check, to First Baptist Church of Stewart and designate children's homes. Their theme verse this year is, for you were created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And last year, the impact of our children's homes, they ministered to 236,492 folks, children and adults. Praise the Lord. Amen. And additionally, they impacted others with advocacy, training, awareness, and volunteers, 237,501. And they provided 14,129,605 meals globally and locally, our children's homes. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. And a worthy cause. So I want to encourage you, Kim and I are giving to it this year. I want to encourage you to do the same. One of our sweet families that's been members of the church a lot longer than I've been here, probably about 55 years or so, Alice Beatty, just a few days ago, graduated to be with the Lord. And this afternoon is the viewing at Acock Funeral Home from 4 o'clock until 8, if you'd like to stop by. And then also, that's the Acock in Jensen. And then tomorrow morning at 11 is the memorial service in our choir room, senior adult center in the back, at 11 o'clock. So if you'd like to come and pay your respects and be a part of that, we would appreciate it, 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. And then also, there's a pool party for our youth, June 3rd, Saturday. And then we've also got the seniors have a one-day outing Friday, May 19th. And I want to encourage you to sign up for that. They've had some of the best attended senior events in the last few months. Really exciting to be a part with them occasionally. Occasionally, I'm a designated driver. But we do have a joyous time. And then next Saturday is an afternoon, actually, is our experiment in a golf tournament, an afternoon golf tournament. And that's going to be a fundraiser for Reborn Farms. And it's 9 holes in the afternoon, so it's short. Some of our senior guys are grateful for that. And you say, well, I don't play. That's okay. We'll pair you up with some other guys. It's best ball. And you pick the best shot and the best shot and the best shot and play those. So you don't even have to know how to play golf. Just get some good guys on your team. And we'll end that with pizza. There'll be pizza. Cost is $55 per player. And I want to encourage you to take part in that as well. And again, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's give our deacons a hand for serving the banquet yesterday. Praise the Lord. And Kim said it was just admirable. She was so proud of them, watching them serve yesterday, and it was a joy. And we did wind up getting like a handful of little quiches that are about the size of a quarter that came home, some leftovers. And I ate one of those quiches, and it was good. It was real good. God bless you. Thanks. Okay, so we want to recognize three different categories of our moms today. And we have these fine balloons, but the important part is below them, dark chocolate. So we want to give that out to three different classes of our categories of our moms. So let's begin with the oldest mom. So if you are, let's just go ahead and jump right in and start at 70. If you're 70 or older, please stand. 70 or older. Let's give them a hand. And we'll, yes, Gary.
Just gonna pass it out to him.
Oh, okay. And so we're going to jump by a decade, 80 or older, 80 or older. Let's jump another decade, 90 or older. All right, we're down, hey, to the same row, the same pew. Okay, how old and how old? Irene,
and
she's older than you.
Yeah.
Well, then you can sit down. Irene, how old are you? 95. Can you beat 95? 93. Let's give Irene a big hand. Okay, youngest moms, let's start 35 and down. 35. Okay. Ladies, Julia, Stephanie. Julia, how old? 33. Well, wait, right here. 33. All right, let's give Stephanie a big hand. All right, we want to, the mother with the most children. Now, not adopted children, not, but biological children. I mean, if you're going to go through the childbirth and the pains, or do you think we should have adopted?
Absolutely. We're all adopted.
Count them all.
Okay. The most children that you call your own. 1 year, we had an Italian lady in the church who was very prodigious. She had like 5 kids. And she was sitting there, and she was really heavy. And so I got up here, and I got a little bit gregarious. And I said, and you've got one in the oven. And she said, Pastor, I'm not pregnant. So that kind of, it turned south a little bit. So no more of that, no more of that. So, okay, the most kids that are your kids, you call them your kids. Okay, let's start with the three or more. Three or more. And here comes a contender right now. Okay, please remain standing. Three or more. No, they don't have to be here. I mean, we've taken in adopted now, so they don't have to be present. Okay, three or more. Four or more children. Five or more. Wow, 6 or more. How many children do you have? 7. Come down.
Come on.
We need to see a lady that's got 7 children. What is your name?
Teresa.
Teresa?
Yes.
And what are the ages of all your children? When were they born and what are their social security numbers?
Oh, my God.
No. How old are your children? How old is the oldest? 54 and the youngest?
44, I think.
44. How many grandchildren?
Four.
Four grandchildren.
Yes.
Let's give her a big hand. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, choir. We want to dismiss our children for Children's Church at this time. And I want to speak to the grandparents here. If you'd like to have more grandchildren, we've got 2 kids with 7 grandkids, and they compete with each other. And so they both had 3 each, and Shay said, I have to beat my brother. So she had another one. And it's a good way to get some more grandkids, get them to compete with one another. With your 7, you could have 40 grandkids, get them competing with each other. And so praise the Lord for kids and grandkids. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So today I'd like to share a message with you. I've never preached. I asked the Lord to lay on my heart a mom from the Bible that I've never covered before that I've never reacted with before. And so he laid on my heart to go through with you and kind of review Moses' mother, Moses, the leader of the children of Israel in the Exodus, the receiver of the law of God, the tablets of God. And so I want to ask you this question. How many of you looked up her name at the first of the service after you saw the notes? Anybody? Okay. How many of you know Moses' mother's name? Raise your hands. I'm seeing a half a dozen or so. Part of the reason for that, and we'll look at the beginning of the scenario of she and her husband and leading into Moses, is her name is not given in the first passage. It's later in the book of Exodus, and then a couple of other references are given to either her name or her the children's name, Moses and his siblings, later in the Bible. And so her name is Jochebed. And Jochebed, the name itself means Yahweh, or God, is glory. God is glory. And so she had a brilliant, beautiful name. Do any of you know anyone named Jochebed? It sounds kind of like a guy or girl name, I guess, like it could be a Jack, you know, Jochebed. So she was the daughter of the tribe of Levi, and it's interesting that she was the wife of Amram, that was Moses' father, but she was also his aunt. And no, they were not from Mississippi, Arkansas, or Tennessee, you know. So Amram married his aunt, and she became his wife. And we see that in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20. If you want to look at that in your Bible, if you don't believe me, Exodus 6, 20. And Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed, and she bore him Aaron and Moses, and the length of Amram's life was 137 years. He lived longer than a Bennett. And so we see here this couple, and so that's their names. Their names are not given in this initial passage that we're going to look at. So if you've got your Bible, turn with me to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. And let's look at one of the greatest mothers in the Bible, one of the most influential mothers in the Bible. And we see her influence as we begin to, we're going to look at it. So beginning in verse 1, now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. It's interesting, in my devotions this morning, I was reading about King David, and it talked about how handsome he was. And that's how he was beginning to get influence, how when Saul was tormented, they said, have David come and play his harp. He's a beautiful worshiper, and he's a handsome young man. And I'm going to bring a message on the good-looking people of the Bible. And so we'll do that sometime and take a look at them. So here's one of them. And we see that the woman conceived, bore a son. When she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket, covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. So this is almost like a picture of Noah's Ark. A little ship, a vessel, only this one is little and the Ark is a big. Kim and I this summer are going to go look at that Ark, the replica of it. We're not actually going over to the Middle East, but we're going to look at it in Kentucky. And we see a picture of the Ark where this godly woman, Jochebed, made a basket and covered it with tar and made it waterproof and put a little lid on it and made a little basket to suspend Moses and trusted him into the Nile. Now crocodiles are something else. This took a lot of faith. And it also showed how desperate she was. So she did this and hid it among the reeds of the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. So this was Miriam. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may come nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. This is Jochebed, Moses' actual biological mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away, nurse him for me, and I shall give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water," which is what the name Moses means, taken from, drawn out from the water. And so it's interesting in God's sovereignty. Here's a desperate mom. And mothers have a special relationship with their sons. And I believe this happens in all of our relationships. I think dads have a special relationship with their daughters. There's just a kindred there. And there's a natural aspect of nurturing and development there. But moms and their sons, I've marveled to watch Kim and Josh, their relationship in our family, and how close they are, and those types of things. And we see here that this mother was a great mom. We see that this mother was willing to defy the government to protect her son. This child was supposed to be executed. This child was supposed to be killed. All of the boys were supposed to be killed. And she actually defied the government to do it. She weighed the consequences. And because of this, we see that she and Amram, that they were commended for this. In Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith, verse 23, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict." Here we see Moses' mom, Jochebed, and this woman was a godly woman. This was a very strong woman. This was a woman of deep convictions. And she said, "I am not killing this child. I don't care what Pharaoh says. I don't care what the government of Egypt says. I am not taking the life of this child." And that brings up an interesting question. You know, the Bible tells us as Christian citizens, submit to those who rule over you. Submit to the authorities, it says in Romans 12. But there is a time that God commands us not to submit. There's a time when you and I are to say, "I cannot do that. I will not do that. I will not defy God." And we see in the apostles where the local government, the Jewish government, the Roman government, they said, "You quit speaking publicly in Jesus' name." And what did they do? They would beat them sometimes, incarcerate them. And then when they released them, they went straight to the street and started preaching Christ again. And they said, "Why are you doing this?" And they said, "You be the judge. Should we obey God or man? God or man?" That's why our country stood for over 200 years, because it was built by the founding fathers that our liberty, our authority, our justice comes from God and not from people, not from any government. Now, when Kim and I visited Pakistan years ago when Shay was there as a missionary, they had their blasphemy laws that they had brought into public policy, public life, several years before we went there. And the blasphemy laws in the Muslim bloc nations are that if you say anything contrary about Muhammad, Islam, the Quran, you're to be executed. I mean, executed. And that meant if you were really advocating Christ, if you were evangelizing, they would view that as blasphemy. And we were there, and I was talking to some of the Muslim people there. As we were there, I was witnessing to some of them, a shop owner, and actually educated in the United States. And I started talking to him about Christ, and he said, oh, I want to hear more about this. He owned a cloth store where he sold cloth to make clothes. There were a couple of Muslim women in there. He said, you're going to have to leave now. I'm closing the shop. And he ushered them out, two of his customers. He locked the doors, closed it. He sat on the counter and crossed his legs in a way that I can't do. He's very flexible. And he said, tell me everything you want to about Jesus. And I said, well, I thought y'all had blasphemy laws. And he said, not for you. You're an American. You can do whatever you want to. I said, yeah, right. Okay. So I shared. He asked his worker there, go get us a couple of Pepsis. So we drank Pepsis and talked about Jesus. And I was defying the law of that government when I was doing that. And we are to do that. In fact, no matter what any atheist nation says, the communist nation of China, the Marxist nation of Russia, the Marxist nation of the United States, whatever they say, we have a higher law, the law of God. And here we see Jochebed said, I'm going to follow the law of God. I'm going to submit to God, and I'm going to save this boy's life, my son. And we see this defiance in a way, but a defiance not out of obstinance, not out of sin, but an obstinance based on faith. And she exercised that. God bless Jochebed. What would have happened if she had obeyed Pharaoh's decree? What would have happened with the children of Israel? Who would have let them out? Would we have the Ten Commandments? Would we have that influence in Judaism? What would have happened in the whole chain of events had Moses been killed as a child? We see a great faith here. Secondly, Moses' mother was willing to sacrifice her own desires to protect her son. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a wicker basket, covered it with tar pitch, put it the child into it, set it among the reeds in the Nile. Do you know for a mother that's been nurturing a baby for 3 months, holding that baby off and on all day long, nursing that baby, an intimate relationship, mother and son, mother and child? Don't you know how hard that was? She knew what was in the river also, the currents, the crocodiles, the danger. Think of how desperate she was and how she was willing to sacrifice to take that child. I mean, they could have tried to flee Egypt. They could have tried to escape. And she took the child, suspended it in the basket in the reeds in the Nile. In God and His sovereignty, it's so sweet what He does. Miriam, his older sister's watching. Moses was a middle child. Aaron older. Actually, he had to have been, Miriam had to be an older too. Maybe he was the baby of the three, had to be. So we see that Miriam's watching, and as she's watching, she goes and gets mom, and then the mother Jochebed is able to still relate to her son and get paid for it. First welfare in history for having a baby. The government was paying her. Pharaoh's daughter was paying her to take care of her own child. And we see this loving mom, sacrificial mom. Number three, Moses' mother raised three wonderful children, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. In Numbers 26:59, we see a reference to the list. And the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt. And she bore to Amram Aaron and Moses and their sister Miriam. And we see another reference in 1 Chronicles 6:3. And the children of Amram were Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. Several times Moses is in the middle of the listing as they go. But we see these three children, and all of them lived for the Lord to our knowledge their whole life. We know that Aaron did, and we know that he had a strong conviction. We see where he backslid at one point under the influence of the children of Israel and helped them build a golden calf. But outside of that, and he repented of it, he lived for the Lord, was a spokesman for the Lord. He was Moses' right hand in executing the things of God. Number four, Moses' mother raised her children to love and serve God their entire lives. Children who live for the Lord are a testimony to their mother. Children who love God are a testimony to the mother. Look at Susanna Wesley. Two of her sons have shaken the world, John and Charles. The Methodist Church and some of the other denominations in that ilk have come from those two boys. A lot of our hymns written by them. A great influence in Christian practices of discipline and deity. Methodist stands for methodical and relates back to the way these two boys discipled people and their influence from their mother. So here we see a mom that influenced her three kids, this ancient Jewish mother, and influenced them to live for the Lord in a great way. And I'd like for us to look, of course, at the premier child, Moses, and the influence. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 7, we see that Scripture tells us this, that when Moses and Aaron first confronted Pharaoh, they were not spring chickens. Now, they wouldn't have won oldest mother this morning, but they would have been in the running. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. The beginning of the confrontation, these men were in their early 80s. They were octogenarians. Now, it's interesting that statistics say in our society today in the United States, 80% of everyone over 80 has some form of dementia. That could be a blessing in a way if you're, you know, struggling with this or that or connecting the dots or putting things together. You could say, so are 8 out of 10 of them around me my age. And so we see here these men, I mean, they were not spring chickens. In fact, now in the United States, they could have been elected president. But anyway, that's another story. So Moses was 80, Aaron 83, when they confronted Pharaoh initially. Now let's look at some of the accolades for Moses. Let's look at his credentials, his resume. Let's look at the life and the influence of Moses. And as we're doing this, I'd like for you, if you could, Margaret, to put up those pictures. There's a couple of pictures that I'd like you to see from Washington, D.C. Let's go back to the first one. This fresco is of the lawgivers. We've got here 15 lawgivers of the world, Hammurabi and some others, some of the philosophers from Greek and so forth. What's the distinction in this group of these lawgivers and world influencers of these frescoes? Do you see a difference out of that group? Moses is the only one facing forward. And when these are arranged, as they're arranged in Washington around the inside of the building, Moses is in the dead center. And the ones looking to the right are on that side. The ones looking to the left are on that side. So literally, they say all of these others are facing Moses. And of course, Moses and the Ten Commandments are the foundations of two of the most free, righteous, virtuous societies in the history of humanity. And that would be the Jewish empire, the Jewish realm, and then also the United States of America. This has been the freest country in the history of the world. This country's done more to destroy slavery than any country in the world. In fact, we were the first empire to be able to set aside and to reverse slavery in this country through Abraham Lincoln, Emancipation Proclamation. Influenced by Moses, under the influence of God, as God handed him the Ten Commandments. And so we see, as we're looking at that, that this even this aspect of his face, that God spoke face to face with Moses. God spoke face to face. We'll find that in Exodus 33:11. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. If you'll look there with me. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Here we see Moses in a unique relationship of all humanity with God, God the Father. He spoke with him face to face. We do know that in Scripture it says no man can see God and live. But we also know that as God was giving Moses the Ten Commandments, he showed himself to him. He put him in the cleft of the rock, an indenture there on Mount Sinai, and he covered him with his hand and allowed him to see his back. I mean, what an unusual thing for the God of the universe, the omnipotent creator, the unlimited, powerless God, what an unusual thing for him to do with one of us, with a human being, flesh and blood, sinful nature. What an unusual thing for him to do, to put him there and say, I want to be so close with you, Moses, and have this unique relationship with you that I'm going to let you see my back. I mean, we could argue there might even be angels in heaven that have never seen the back of God as he's seated in his throne. Does he have to get off the throne? Does he have to leave? Doesn't have to. Does he? We don't know if he does or not. We'll find out soon. Alice knows now. Alice Beatty. We'll know soon. But here we see Moses, this son of Jochebed. And what an incredible, incredible child that she saved and influenced. Then we see next that God personally gave Moses his laws carved with his finger. A couple chapters back, Exodus 31, verse 18. And when he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written by the finger of God. I mean, like, whatever type of, however Shekinah glory manifests itself, I mean, that type of energy and power that's within the being of God himself. I mean, could it be a laser out of his finger? Could the end of his finger have just brightened up and he carves out of granite? He carves these tablets and carves in these 10, not suggestions, 10 commandments and places them there. We don't know from Scripture when Jochebed passed from this earth. We don't know how much of all this she saw. But, I mean, if she was around with him coming back to camp with the tablets, You know, they lived so long back then. Would you have been proud? Oh my gosh. Look what God did with my son. He's carrying the commandments of the creator of the universe back to civilization. My son. This godly son that I've influenced. And so we see another unique. God also shared his personal presence with Moses. Exodus 33, 14 through 23. Exodus 33, 14 through 23. And he said, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. And that still applies especially now for even you and I, every mother here, every father, every one of us. The presence of God brings us rest. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. He said, my presence shall go with you. I'll give you rest. And then he said to him, if thy presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how can it be known that I have found favor in thy sight, I and thy people? Is it not by thy going with us, so that we and thy people may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth? Here's Moses kind of debating with God. And the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken. For you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. Then Moses said, I pray thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show compassion upon whom I will show compassion. You cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. And then it's where he placed him in the cleft of the rock and covered him. And then finally, see, Moses was acknowledged as a man of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see beginning in verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, think of what he was stepping away from. I mean, literally a breath away from the throne, possibly, if something happened to the biological son of Pharaoh. But in the family, I mean, literally anything in the kingdom, his, any wish, any desire he had, fulfilled instantly by the resources of an entire ancient great civilization. But he said, this is not something that I'm going to hold on to. And so he did not enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Was Moses a Christian? No, he was Jewish. Was Christ revealed yet at that time? He was not. There were several Christophanies, appearances of Christ. But in Scripture, all of the God-fearers of the Old Testament who responded to the revelation they had, the prophecies of the coming Messiah, the sacrifices of God and the picture of that Messiah, they were counted, just as he's saying here, in the rewards of Christ. Greater riches than the treasures, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. We see in Moses a godly, deep, burning zeal for God, but also a patriotism for his own nation, the nation of Israel, the Israelites. And as he began his ministry, as he began to break out into the training at 40 years old, he saw a an Egyptian mistreating one of his fellow nationalmen, one of his Jewish men, and he killed that Egyptian. And then when he found out that it was out, he had to flee. And at that point, he fled Egypt and went into the wilderness for 40 years in training by God so that at 80, he could go back and confront Pharaoh. 40 years in the wilderness, 40 years of obscurity, 40 years of flocks of sheep and dry, parched, arid land. And yet faithful to God. Where did he get all that? Jochebed and Amram, his parents. And where did Aaron get that to be able to stick with him and go through the fury of Pharaoh and say, instead of fearing the government, instead of fearing the rulers, I have pity for those in our country who are selling out the godly tradition that God gave us, thinking that they're going to be wealthy, thinking that when this whole thing gets reorganized, they're going to be on the top of the pile, to find out that they have actually done the opposite of what Moses did, that they have actually chosen the passing pleasures of sin. They've chosen that betrayal. And they are not going to be rewarded like they think they are. And when eternity comes and accounting to Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim, El Shaddai, God Almighty, it's going to be evident. I want to encourage everyone listening, everyone here, every mother here, every father here, I want to encourage you to deeply, deeply, deeply develop those convictions and do not compromise for the pleasures of sin. Do not compromise for this temporary life. Yesterday when we were having our disaster relief and those men and women came to our farm, our property, and came out there and they were giving their Saturday to us and to Jesus, I was so grateful. But I was also thinking when they stand before God, they will be glad that they were out there cutting trees and dragging brush and getting trained to do disaster relief instead of watching golf or a cooking show on television. They will be glad they invested yesterday for the kingdom of Christ. Please, I want to encourage you, beloved, it is rapidly, rapidly coming. It is all over us. It is close. And I want, especially today, you moms, to stand up and be the influence like Jochebed was. And to influence those kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. I'd like to encourage all of you when you interact with them. We've got, you know, some holidays coming up, 4th of July, and then as we do the scenario, we've got Thanksgiving and Christmas, these different times, possibly if your kids come for Father's Day. Do something that won't cost you anything but could bless you with many, many returns. Speak blessings into your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. When they're at your house running around, get them up in your lap, or if you can't handle that, have them sit next to you and hold their hand. And speak blessings into them. You're going to be great. One of our grandsons, Reese, is on the scale, the autism scale. But he is such a brilliant little boy. And he has amazing skills. Most of us here in this weekend at the golf tournament won't be able to hit a golf ball looking at it. He will be talking to me and just clip it solid. Time and time again. It's just unbelievable. And I'm telling Reese, someday I think you're going to be playing golf on television. Someday you're going to be one of the great ones. You may become the greatest golfer who's ever lived. My son Josh says Reese can hit golf balls for hours at a time. Little kids don't do that. Little kids don't normally do that. And I started saying to Reese, I said, Reese, you're perfect. And he says, perfect. And I said, you're perfect.
I perfect. Bebop say, I perfect. You are perfect. You're perfect. You're perfect. And you're going to be a pro golfer. And remember to tithe to our church. They win about $3 million a tournament now. So, I mean, I'm going to hit golf balls with him until he's blue in the face, you know, and see what happens. But put a blessing on these kids. Every one of them, I look for what their unique ability is and reinforce it. Our little Gabe's the most natural athlete in the history of our family. And I'll tell him that. I'll say, you're just a natural athlete, Gabe. God's going to use that. And then little Kinley, our son's daughter, writes in her journal her own poems, Christian poems, and little praise themes and little things to glorify God. And I've tried recently, since she started doing that, to ask her to read those to me. Oh, Kinley, that's one of the greatest things I've ever heard. Now, a lot of you moms, you've done that. You've invested. You've put deposits. Maybe some of you have been hard moms. Maybe you were the disciplinarian. Maybe you were more legalistic. Maybe you were a little harder. The joys of being grandparents is you can be as loose as a goose and send them home. Can I hear an amen? With a couple of exceptions. But, you know, we just want to encourage you to invest like Jochebed did in these three children. The things she deposited, and look at what they did. Let me show this final picture from Washington, D.C. of Moses. And again, this is on the front of the building, I think Supreme Court building, and it's an edifice of lawgivers. That's Confucius on one side, one of the ancient philosophers on the right. Moses seated on a throne type with the commandments in the middle. Moses. This child of Jochebed. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and we thank you and praise you so much again for our moms, these moms. Thank you, Lord, for their influence. I just want to ask you, please, to bless them today. Give each one of them a special sense of your presence, your power. And Lord, I just want to ask you also, dear God, to just glorify yourself in our midst. Please, Lord, show up here. There's some of our people, some sitting here right now who are struggling. They're under spiritual warfare. They're struggling with their thoughts, their attitudes, their feelings, their emotions. I pray you'll put a hedge of protection around them. And Lord, draw them back to your sweet joy and your giving and witnessing and your abundance of spirit. There's some here that are struggling with illnesses. There's many here with pain. Almighty God, if you would, just as an act of grace, sweep through this congregation and remove this pain. Give relief from this pain and strengthen them. And Father, there are people here that really, they don't know you. They're religious. They know what to say. But they do not have a personal relationship with you like you had with Moses. I ask you, please, Almighty God, to convict their heart and draw them to yourself, that they might cry out to you and say, dear Lord, please cleanse me and forgive me and take control of me and remove this flesh from my life and replace it with your spirit, your Holy Spirit, and strengthen me and use me. Return the joy of my salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to extend our invitation now and give you an opportunity to respond to God this morning. So let's stand together and sing. And you come as God speaks to your heart. I want to remind you this morning, as we do on Mother's Day, Crisis Pregnancy Center has these little baby bottles out there for you to get and place your loose change in. And when you fill them up, just bring them in the office. We call them and they
come by and pick those up. So if you'll grab one of those on the way out today. I want to remind you again about our golf tournament. Still not too late if you wanted to sign up for that. And contact John Demeray, and we'll pair you up in teams. And we're going to have, it's really going to be a fellowship time, a short time. And it will be starting at North River Golf Club at 2:30. And so I want to encourage you to come over. Pizza, dinner afterwards after we play. And just kind of a sweet time of fellowship. Invite some lost friends because we're going to be evangelistic and try to share the love of Christ with them as well. And again, praise God for you. And enjoy your mothers. Affirm them today. Really speak love and life into them and strengthen them. And I'm going to ask one of our moms of the church, Nancy Bennett. Nancy, would you come dismiss us in prayer? And then I want to meet you moms as you come out today. We've got a strawberry for each of you, a chocolate-covered strawberry. So see me in the lobby. Nancy, please dismiss us.
Holy Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we just love you so much, Father. We thank you for this day, dear God. We thank you for this day when we can walk with you, and you talk with us, and we have fellowship with you. And Father God, I thank you for all the mothers, Father God. I pray that you would just bless them, Father God. They all have such an awesome job, Father God, leading their families to you, Father God, for the purpose of the ongoing of your kingdom. Now bless everybody here, Father God, and we speak and pray safety over everybody as we go in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message, and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you, and thank God for you.